Butterflies would turn someday. You know, few voices, when I think about it, have spoken to the human condition with clarity, courage, and compassion the way that James Baldwin did when he was here on Earth with us. He did not write to redecorate reality. He wrote to reveal it across essays, novels, and fascinating interviews. Baldwin offered something rare and enduring, because we're still talking about him now. We're still fascinated now. We're still amazed now. He offered language for truths many people felt but struggled mightily to name. Baldwin understood struggle not as this abstract concept, but as lived experience. He knew what it meant to wrestle with identity, you know, wrestle with belonging, with fear, with love, with injustice. You know, every day, go to work, come home, love your family, go to church if that's what you do, and still face injustice, and the longing to breathe freely in a world that often resists. Can you imagine? Resists full honesty. Yet what makes his legacy extraordinary is not what he endured, but how he transformed it just from his presence, just from him being here. He turned observation into insight, pain into precision, anger into illumination, and complexity into unmistakable truth. Now, when you read Baldwin, you encounter a mind fiercely devoted to integrity and a heart deeply invested in humanity. Deeply. He challenged denial without cruelty. He confronted injustice without surrendering his tenderness. As so difficult to do, and yet he did it. He reminded us that truth-telling, though uncomfortable, because it is one of the highest forms of respect, first for oneself, for others, and for the future that we are shaping together. Now, this reflection honors James Baldwin, not simply as a literary giant, though he was, but as a witness to the human spirit. His words continue to steady those of us, those among us who are finding our voice, those reclaiming their dignity, and those choosing honesty in a world that sometimes rewards silence. Because this world does do that. It's hard to speak in this world. I don't ever want to take away from that and make light of it, because it is hard to choose silence in this world. I mean, to choose voice, to choose to speak out in this world is very hard. Now, as I read these, may his courage echo where it is needed most. May his clarity strengthen those still learning to trust their own knowing. May his legacy remind us that truth, once spoken, cannot be undone. And that is the power of truth. That truth, once spoken, it can't be undone. Now, let's get into those 19 powerful things about Mr. James Baldwin. Now, Mr. James Baldwin survived a childhood shaped by fear and scarcity and still chose truth. Now, Baldwin grew up in poverty and under severe emotional strain. He did not pretend this away. He transformed it into insight. Affirmation. My beginnings do not define my limits. He left the United States to save his spirit, not to escape responsibility. Moving to Paris gave Baldwin the emotional distance needed to think clearly and write honestly about his experience in America and the Black experience in America. Affirmation. Choosing myself is sometimes the most responsible act. And I would say sometimes it'll save your life. Number three, he believed naming reality was an act of love. Baldwin insisted that truth-telling was not cruelty. You can see that in many of his interviews. Oh, he's so, you know, he sits there and he kind of leans in. And you can see emotionally he leans in. He's happy. He does not express anger. He's emotionally engaged. Baldwin insisted that truth-telling, it was not an act of cruelty. It was not inhumane. He saw it as care for the future. Affirmation. Honesty is one of the highest forms of care. Number four, he refused to flatten himself for acceptance. Baldwin spoke plainly about race, about sexuality, about faith, about masculinity and power at a time when silence was rewarded, and heck, is still rewarded now, especially for some people. And now, you know, we're learning things, and it looks like it's rewarded for a lot of people, a lot more people than we thought, right? Affirmation. I do not need to shrink to belong. Because see, we got to expand. We got to expand because most importantly, I have to belong to me. I belong to me. When I expand, the more I expand, I belong to me. Number five, he understood that survival includes emotional literacy. That's one of the most fascinating things about him to me. In fact, all of the first five. Baldwin wrote about fear. I mean, he put it on paper. I love that. Longing, rage, tenderness, and grief with precision and dignity. Affirmation. My feelings carry information. They carry information. Not shame. Not shame. Number six, he confronted institutions without surrendering his humanity. Now, whether he was speaking to politicians or journalists, interviewers, hostile audiences, Baldwin, attractive, dignified man, Baldwin remained grounded and composed. He chose to. That was, the choice was before him. He chose to. Affirmation. I can speak firmly, and I don't have to abandon myself when I do it. Hey, you hear that whining in the back? I'm sorry, it's not a baby. I promise you, it is my cat. I have told you before, Mr. P-Funk does not like me making these recordings. Sorry, guys. Number 7, we're going to get on back to legendary James Baldwin. Number 7. And by the way, that's one of the reasons I call him Mr. P-Funk, is he has so many varied vocalizations. I had to call him something musical. Number 7, he believed denial was more dangerous than discomfort. He believed denial was more dangerous than discomfort. Baldwin warned that societies collapse when they refuse to face what they have done. Societies collapse when they refuse to face what they have done. And, you know, I believe that not just societies, families, marriages, churches. I believe that's for any groups that they are in danger of collapsing. I think that we tend to say they collapse when the harmed person chooses not to go along to get along, or not to forgive and forget, or not to accept the harm. I think that's the messages that we have been pushing, but that's not true. They collapse when people refuse to face what they have done and make change, make necessary changes. And so the affirmation is that facing truth protects the future. Facing truth protects the society. Facing truth protects the society. And that's why you face the truth. When people say, why don't you move on? Why don't you forgive and forget? Why don't you just stop talking about it? Because actually, facing truth is what protects the marriage. Facing truth is what protects this church. Facing truth is what protects this family. That's where the strength is. It's just like when, you know, when someone talked about breaking a bone, you know, folks in my family, folks very dear to me, I've done some caretaking often around broken bones. Bones have had to be broken to repair them. And they break the bone. And it just so happens that one of the things that you learn when you're doing that caretaking is that now actually the bone is stronger. And you learn that because when you take your loved one to the hospital, you're like, wait, why? Whoa, why is that part right there glowing whiter than the other parts? And then the doctor will tell you, oh, you know what? It just so happens that when we break that bone right there, it gets stronger. And so sometimes things have to be broken, so that they can get stronger. And so all this stuff about, you know, no, let's get quiet, let's hide it, let's put it away, let's not say anything, let's get silent. Well, that doesn't help things to get better or stronger or to heal. That's really not the way things heal. Sometimes we gotta break it. We gotta tell the truth. James Baldwin, he knew that. He was breaking things open through his writing. Amazing man. Amazing man. Number 8, he valued inner freedom as much as external change. He wrote about liberation without inner clarity is fragile. Affirmation, my inner freedom matters. Inner freedom matters. Inner freedom matters. My inner freedom matters. Number 9, he trusted language as a tool for healing and resistance. I like that. Baldwin treated words as instruments that could wound, because see, words can wound or restore. And it does depend on how they're used. Affirmation, my words can build safety, and strength. So yes, when we talk about institutions coming forward and not speaking truth and not giving accurate information and choosing to use their words to protect harm doers rather than to protect victims. What a wounding thing for the community, and how much more difficult it is for those families who have lost loved ones who they will never see again because of a harm doer. And now everybody's rushing to protect this harm doer. Now how are we as a community gonna come together? Now you just made it that much harder for us to trust you, trust one another, and rebuild again. Very shattering. And so to institutions, to media, to ourselves, and when we're saying these affirmations, an important one to say is my words can build safety and strength. We do that in prayer. We do that in meditation. We do that in affirmation. I'm going to tell you, when I was going, there was a middleness in my therapy when I used to say to one of my most impactful therapists, I used to say to her, I don't dig affirmations at all. And it's funny because I've been now published in an affirmation book, and one of those compilations where several of us get together and do a contribution. And but hey, this was years before that, and I remember telling her, I don't believe in affirmations. And she just said, you really just want to make this whole, you give yourself a hard way to go. You just really insist on doing this the hard way, don't you? Like, she was just too, like, you just mean this is going to be done the hard way, don't you? Because I just thought, she asked me to explain why, and I just told her, it just sounds like a bunch of hocus pocus. Just because you say it, so what? When I was in my mid-20s and I was just kind of like, so what? So what you say it? So? And I meant it. But, now I've come to really understand the power of what I say to myself. What I say to myself. What I say to myself really matters. I mean, like, it's whatever I say to myself, it really, like, that's square one. What I say to myself, like, that's the beginning. Like, often if something didn't go right, I'd really retrace it back. What was your mindset about the whole thing? Seriously. So I say that to say sometimes, we're really in a space where institutions and the people that write the words and do the things give us the news and all of that. Not so good. Things happen and they want us to align with the harm doers and cuddle up to the harm doers rather than align with the victims. And that's across all demographic lines, and then everybody's outraged, and there's no purpose in that. It's bizarre and strange. So my words, I think everybody should check themselves on that. My words can build safety and strength. Number 10, James Baldwin's work continues to comfort people who felt unseen, readers across generations return to Baldwin. To this day, not just for critique, but for, in this beautiful, for companionship. This is beautiful. So the affirmation here is, I am not alone. I am never alone in seeing what others avoid. I am never alone in seeing what others avoid. Ah, that feels good. Number 11, he turned lived experience into illumination. Baldwin wrote from inside of struggle. He did. He wrote from inside of struggle, much like others before him, but, you know, in his own beautiful way, in his own uniquely beautiful way. He wrote from inside of struggle, and not from a distance, not from outside of it. And he wasn't ashamed of that. He didn't try to do that. And some people reward that. So sometimes when you see awards and accolades given, people like to award and say, that was beautiful. And they're not shy about saying it was beautiful because it was distanced from the struggle. They're not shy about that. His work carries the authority of someone who lived what he examined. There's authority in that. There's genuineness, authenticity in that. So the affirmation is, nothing I have lived is ever wasted, especially when I give it meaning. Especially when I give it meaning. And actually, that's the great thing about going through the healing process. That's why we encourage the healing process. If it's not via therapist, it can be through group therapy, through your faith community, through prayer, dance, art. Art is so healing. Art is healing. Writing, hobbies, you name it. Any number of hobbies on this planet. So healing, singing. But definitely some kind of way that allows you to heal. Stage work. Talking with people. That and preferably some type of way that gives you someone. I'll say this, sometimes getting the feedback, because I will speak for myself, getting expert feedback was irreplaceable. Expert therapist was there's nothing like it. Nothing. It's transformative. Expert feedback is transformative. Number 12. He chose distance to gain clarity. So his relocating and traveling, it wasn't abandonment at all. In fact, it was getting closer to himself. It was self-preservation and creative strategy. And creating space for myself can sharpen my voice. Yeah, we had fun times. Very fun times. Creating space for myself can sharpen my voice. It just feels like it. Creating space for myself. See, I told you. Creating space for myself can sharpen my voice. Number 13, James Baldwin believed truth-telling was a moral act. Baldwin challenged cultures of denial with courage and precision. Speaking truth is an act of integrity, even when it shakes others. Number 14, he wrote about vulnerability without apology. Long before it was widely accepted. So this was like the 50s and 60s. Baldwin explored tenderness, especially for a man, especially for a black man. He explored tenderness, fear, love, and identity. Affirmation. My sensitivity is not weakness. It is awareness. So beautiful. So beautiful. Number 15, he refused easy narratives. Baldwin rejected oversimplified explanations about race, power, and human behavior. So the affirmation there is, I'm allowed to hold complex truths. And that's all of us across all the demographics. I'm allowed to hold complex truths, particularly when we're not robbing other people of their human rights. Other people get to hold their human rights while we're holding our complex truths. Number 16, he understood that silence, it does have a cost. Doesn't seem that way, but it does. Baldwin warned that what remains unspoken often becomes destructive. So the affirmation here is, my voice protects my inner world. That's something to think about, isn't it? My voice protects my inner world. Amazing. My voice protects my inner world. Does it mean we'll always get the outcome that we've hoped? But it still protects our inner world. Interesting. Number 17. He stood firm in rooms built to resist him. So from televised debates to lecture halls, those fascinating interviews and the documentary that's come out about him, his books, Baldwin carried calm, grounded intensity. Yes, he did. And the affirmation here is, steady presence can be more powerful than loudness. Steady presence can be more powerful than loudness. And number 18, he wrote about love as transformation. For Baldwin, love required honesty, courage, and I'm so glad he said this, growth. Affirmation. Real love deepens truth. Real love. It does not erase it. Number 19, his words continue to accompany survivors. Now, across decades, readers find recognition, language, and strength in Baldwin's work. Affirmation, voices rooted in truth, outlive opposition. Now, the closing affirmations. My voice is allowed to be honest, complex, and enduring. Truth is not too much. It is enough. My story, my voice, my truth, all worthy, all powerful, all mine. James Baldwin, so charming, attractive, magnetic, that we forget that he was a giant in the civil rights movement. It was probably only about 5 years ago, maybe, that I learned that he and Maya Angelou were friends, first of all. He's friends with a lot of great folks. And he inspired many of the women that we are some of the greats, including Maya Angelou. And he inspired her to begin writing, that voice and speaking was so important. And we know that I know why the caged bird sings. He inspired her to start writing. And she began writing. Amazing, right? He wasn't detached or aloof. Even if he disagreed with you, he was connected and leaned in emotionally. He was fearless. We have too many of us today who falsely believe that being harsh, horrible, brutish, abusive, vile, and forky-tongued is the way through. And then I say there is James Baldwin, still commanding our attention with his words and his way. And I think he's so critical for survivors today, because I think that many of us who are survivors of abuse and violence came through the harm, believing that the best way was, you know, to make it through, was to be silent, was to just, you know, you just stay quiet and keep your head down. And Baldwin just, there was a difference in the way that he dealt with harms against him. And I don't think that we all have to choose that way, but I think that he offers a different choice, and that, you know, that it's just there and you don't have to take it on fully, but it's just there are some pieces of it there for you. So anyway, you know, just hope that you get to listen more to me, or get to listen and watch more of Mr. James Baldwin. I don't think you'll ever regret one minute of it. All right. Thanks for listening. Be great. Bye.
This is Tanya GJ Prince. Thanks for listening. Y'all be great.